Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So for our Advent tradition, we continue our family devotionals together on this Sunday. For Sunday, December 8th, it is entitled, Taking It Slow. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among his people. Luke chapter 1. If a miracle ever happened to me, I'd be shouting it everywhere. Ever hear someone say something like that to you? But John's conception and birth was different. It started with an angel announcing the miracle in private to a single man, John's father-to-be. But when that man wouldn't believe the angel, God struck him mute. No one would be hearing the story from him. And then there was Elizabeth, John's mother. Perhaps her husband managed to write the story down for her. Perhaps not. But when she realized she was pregnant, she kept herself hidden at home, away from the people. She wasn't telling the miracle story either. Why? Well, we don't know, but we can guess. There is value sometimes in taking things slowly, and simply sitting still and watching God carry out his good promises. We don't always have to be running, shouting, announcing what God is doing. There is time for that, yes, but there is also time for praying and thinking and rejoicing in the Lord. Elizabeth did that. Zechariah did that. We too can do that as we look forward to the celebration of Jesus coming into our world. During this Advent season, take the time to meditate on Jesus' birth, on how God loved you and the whole world so much that he sent his Son into the world to become one of us, our Savior from the devil and evil. Think about the one who loves you and lays down his life for you on the cross, only to take it up again. Let that story seep in. Let it become part of your very bones. Then go tell others the miraculous good news. Waiting. Taking time. Going slow. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at that. And my guess is that you would agree with me that as we take a look at the world around us, in the fast-paced world we live in, most of us are probably not that good at taking things slow and waiting. I mean, there's plenty of evidence about that. When you think about the fact that things are to be slow, my goodness, we can't even wait for Christmas to come anymore. By October, all the decorations are up in the store for Christmas. All the Christmas cards are out. People start decorating before Thanksgiving, and away they go. But interestingly enough, they can't wait to take down Christmas either. As soon as Christmas is over, and they never wait to Epiphany anymore, Christmas is over. Kind of a weird world we live in. And I started thinking about, well, what are the things we don't wait on? Well, I don't know about you, but being an extrovert, if you didn't figure that out, I'm an extrovert, by the way. And you know, sometimes, I don't know if you have this problem, but you don't think about things before you say them. Does anybody else ever have that problem? Okay, good, I'm not alone on that. You know, sometimes, you know, when somebody upsets you or somebody does something, you don't take time to sit and wait about it. You just kind of plop it out, and whatever comes out, there it is. And, you know, we're like, oh, did I say that? Yes, 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 we said that. And then there are times, you know, in our lives today where we want and we expect instant gratification. Have you noticed about our society today? People can't wait anymore. They want it right now. Remember I think it was Aunt Jemima syrup. Remember that? Oh, no, it was ketchup. Yeah, syrup, ketchup, whatever. I don't need either one. But anyways, it was ketchup. And I think it was Heinz ketchup. Do you remember what the slogan used to be in the old days? Anybody remember that? Good things come to those who, wait, anticipation, right. Mm-hmm. They got rid of that slogan. Have you noticed? Nobody wants to wait on their ketchup anymore. And then there's Burger King, and they started the whole thing. Remember what their slogan is? Your way, right away. And then there's me. Not even computers are fast enough for me in my world. Those things are too dang slow. They just take forever. But that's the reality in our world, right? As we look at our devotion today, something seems so strange. When we look at this, as we look at the lesson for today in the gospel, it just seems so weird. I mean, if it were you, maybe, I know if it were me, if God sent a miracle into my life, if something like this happened to me, I'd be out telling everyone. Wouldn't you? I'd be out shouting it from the rooftops. Look what God has done for me. I mean, it just seems so weird that here is Zechariah and Elizabeth. This wonderful miracle comes into their life, and they can't even wait. I remember both times we were pregnant. Steph would tell me we're pregnant, and the first thing I wanted to do was go call everybody and tell them. And she said, no, slow it down. Let us take time for this, right? Because it's important. These things are important in our lives. I mean, the reality is, this day and age, if a miracle happened to any one of us, that thing would be on Facebook faster than white on rice, wouldn't it? Because that's what we do nowadays, because we don't take time to sit back and wait. But Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were a lot different. They were a lot different. They were waiting in gratitude. They took time to thank God for this wonderful gift that he had given them. They took time to have gratitude and to be with Jesus and to rejoice in the wonderful gift that he'd given to him. Now, you know, Zechariah didn't have much choice. There's not much he could do about the matter. I mean, he was mute. I bet those sermons went really fast in his church. But you know, Elizabeth, she could have said, but she didn't. She just sat back and she waited. She rested in Jesus. It reminds us of Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." How often we fail to do that in our time, in our culture, in our society today, to sit back, to rest in God, and to just let God be God, to let time be time, to not be so focused on getting things done and so rushed that we forget about God, forget about devotion, forget about prayer, forget about gratitude. You know, I often find that in my life, and not that this is a bad thing, but I'm so rushed that when I do pray, I'm always asking God for things, and I forget to take time to thank him for things. Gratitude is so important because gratitude lifts the soul. It changes our mind. It can do away with depression and ease anxiety. This is true. It truly happens in the brain with our chemistry. They took time to contemplate what God had done. How many people take time to contemplate anymore? I mean, we don't even use that word hardly anymore. Just to take time to sit back and to marvel. You know, it's very interesting to me. The church has lost the sense of marvel. You know, this sense of wonder. It's interesting to me that when the first church was started in Acts chapter 2, one of the things and signs of that early church is that the people would sit back and they would marvel with amazement at what Jesus had done for them. So much so that the scripture says God added to their number daily those who were being saved. But if you go into most churches today, people just come in. It's like a routine. They sit down, they do their stuff, they leave. I mean, all of us get in that way. I mean, we've been doing it our whole lives. I remember when I was a little boy, and, well, not too little, but going to church, you know, we had the old red hymnal, and I had everything memorized because we did the same thing every Sunday. I still do have it memorized. And I remember sitting there looking at the pretty girl in the pew in front of me, and after worship thinking, did I actually do the liturgy? But I did. I just set it right outside. I wasn't contemplating God. I was contemplating a marvel that he made. But you know how that goes, right? We just don't take that time to sit back and to be connected to God. They were waiting on the word, Jesus himself, to appear. They knew that something great was happening. Zechariah was a priest. He knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. They knew something was going on. I mean, an angel of the Lord doesn't appear to you unless something special is going to happen, people, right? They were waiting on Jesus, the word himself, to come and reveal himself. Think about how often we the word appears to us. Every time we hear the word of God, every time we see a baptism, every time we receive the Lord's Supper. I don't know about you, but I wish we did it every Sunday. Because I can't wait for that gift. It's the best gift. I mean, how wonderful it is. How awesome it is every day to be connected with God in word and in prayer. They waited in prayer and in meditation and devotion and worship. They waited. Are you getting the gist? They waited. But they didn't just sit there waiting idly. They sat there waiting actively. Wait a minute. Does that make sense? Can you wait actively? Yeah. Their attention, their full devotion, their heart, their mind, their souls. It was devoted upon God. It was focused on Jesus. It was focused on what God had done for them. How amazing that is. How beautiful it is to see this example. Even in the midst of this good and exciting news, this news that most of us would like be shouting from the rooftop and going, yay, we're having a baby. Especially at advanced age. Scripture points that out several times. But they sat back and they waited. When the time was right, led by God, nourished, fed, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, they told the story. They told the story when the time was right. You know, sometimes we get in such a big hurry in our lives. I do. I don't know about you. And, you know, we want to go out and make things happen, and we might get frustrated in our church because maybe it isn't growing as fast as we'd like it. And pastors do, you know. Things aren't happening like the way we want it to do. And in our lives, we experience that in so many ways. Maybe our children aren't maturing as fast, or they're not doing as well in school. And, you know, we try to rush things through. We do it in our jobs. We do it in our faith life. We just do it all over the place. And the reality is, we don't have to rush. Because when we take time to sit and wait, one thing is very certain. God has already given us his son, Jesus Christ. So time and eternity is already ours. We don't have to rush. We have all eternity to live our lives because of Jesus. We can take time in this world to nurture our faith, to grow in our faith, to be fed by the Holy Spirit. We can take time to ask God to prepare us to be his messengers to the world around us. We can take time and ask God to send to us the right person or send us to the right person to share the good news. We don't have to rush it. We have all eternity, and it's a beautiful thing. And Advent is a time of waiting. Waiting once again as we sit back and marvel that God has sent his son Jesus Christ into the world born as a tiny little baby. Sure, it's already happened, but the season calls us to reflect on that once again. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait until Christmas Day, and once again we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We are waiting on the return of Jesus. Advent focuses on that. Just as Jesus came one time, he's going to come back. He promised us that. And as we talked about at the end of the church here, way back in November, we talked about the fact that we don't have to be afraid of the end of the world because Jesus has already redeemed and saved us and judged us not guilty. And we wait for that glorious day. Either we close our eyes in this world or he comes back in the clouds. Either way, we go home to be with him forever in eternity where there's no more sin or sadness or sickness. Nothing like that. We will be perfect and be able to rejoice forever in the presence of God and how beautiful that is in our lives. And we wait. We wait for that gift of heaven to become reality. The reality is today that as we wait for Christmas, as we wait for Christmas to come, as we hear God's word, as we receive his sacraments, the power of the Holy Spirit works in our lives to nourish, strengthen, and forgive us, to bring us closer to Jesus. And his love and forgiveness was he won for us in his death and resurrection so that we may become more like Jesus with hearts of love and compassion, with hearts that are nurtured and strengthened to live in the world around us, which really is not an easy place to live. We need that waiting so we can be strengthened for that life in this world, a life that points others to Christ, a life that shows the salvation which God has brought, a life that grows the kingdom of heaven and decreases the kingdom of hell, so that God the Father may receive his glory for the wonderful story of salvation that he has brought for us. So take time, slow down, and wait a little. Be still and know God. Be still and pray that he makes you more like Jesus. Be still and pray that he will open your eyes to those around you who desperately need his love, and pray that you will be the embodiment of his presence and love in your world around you. In the name of Jesus, amen.